بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وترى كثيرا منهم يسارعون في الإثم والعدوان وأكلهم السحت. In one place in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala complains about Bani Israel. You see many of them rushing towards sin, transgression, and eating of haram, أكلهم السحت. But simultaneously you'll find ترى يسارعون في الخيرات سابقون في الخيرات. That there is another group that hastens, hurries towards good. So one is rushing towards wrong, and the other is rushing towards good. So this race towards evil and the race towards good, this comes in after time. When a person does something regularly, all the time, today, tomorrow, morning and evening, then this becomes a habit. From a habit to an addiction. And when it comes to the level of addiction, then you can't dump that habit. You must have it. So Allah has created that malaka, that capacity in man, that you do something and after that, after the passage of time, that becomes a habit and an addiction. Then you can't do without it. Man is on the throes of death, and in the throes of death, and he says, take this for 5 rands and take this for 10 rands. This is for 5, this is for 10. And his soul departs in that way. So he became impassionate with world, material. He did that his entire life. Now that it is his time to leave, so those same words are coming out of his tongue, chewing out. This for 5, this for 10, this for 5, and this for 10. He finds the comfort in that. My one friend tells me that in his youth, in his childhood, there were non-Muslims living around, right? Wherever they were living. And sometimes there would be an old person, and he is in Sakrat, and his soul is not just departing. So they would call this Muslim man, and all the Muslim man would do is say, ask, you've got some gold. Say, yeah, I've got some gold. All Indians keep gold. So call a non-Muslim Indian, and they'll ask him, have you got some gold? Yes. So it, just take that gold and put it under his tongue. Put that gold in under his tongue, caught the smell of it, and his soul departed. So he lived for that, he loved it his life, and he leaves it. He leaves the world with it. He lived with it, he loved it, and he will leave with it. Now, when this is the nature of life, that you love something, and then you become impassionate, becomes an addiction. So now we can use this, we can manipulate and maneuver this, rightly or wrongly. Same thing. You use it correctly, it will take you to the right direction. You use it incorrectly, it will take you to the wrong direction. A knife in a surgeon's hand can save a life. A knife, same knife, in a murderer's hand can take a life. So it's a gift overall, and the gift has to be used correctly. However you use it after that. أَلَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُ عَيْنَيْنِ وَلِسَانًا وَشَفَتَيْنِ وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ. So Allah Ta'ala has given you the choice to take either right or wrong, give you the capacity. But it is after all it is your take at the end. What do you take? This or you take this? Whichever you want to take, you can take. The roads are open. هَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ. This, the capacity for both. You're not forced, you're not coerced. It is your choice, this way or that way. So when these Buzugana Dini, when they studied life, then they found that Alapak has created certain capacities, right? But all that has to be done is the capacity must be used correctly. Right? So now they see, for example, that this person has got an obsession for wealth. Because of the obsession of wealth, he's landing himself into problems, sometimes into robbing, sometimes into cheating, sometimes into getting angry with people, sometimes fighting, taking his father to court, taking his mother to court, robbing someone of the inheritance, robbing someone of the land, cheating here, robbing there, plundering there, being dishonest here. For that is all right, then he's taking interest. If that is all right, then he's in gambling. So one doesn't finish and the second one is there. So when they analyzed all this, they found that the common trait was an obsession for wealth. What is the common denominator? The common denominator is the same, but he's just doing it, expressing this in different ways. One way is normally unacceptable. What? Like robbing, cheating is normally unacceptable. And there's another way that is normally acceptable by the world, people of the world. Like you are taking interest, everybody accepts it. There'll be certain class Muslims who will not like it, but others will accept it as well. It's legal money. It's legally approved. Gambling, legally approved. And a bottle store, legally approved. Just one small little thing of humor that comes to mind. In Arabic we say haqiqat and majaz, right? Haqiqat and majaz. Haqiqat is you take the literal meaning, and majaz is you take the figurative meaning or some other meaning, right? So now that revolves around the usage, whether it's the literal meaning that you are taking or you're taking a figurative metaphorical meaning. One friend of mine, he passes 4 months, you see. And he's 4 months and he's leaving. So he's come to Bombay, and as he's come to Bombay, he's looking at the shops, names of the shop. So he sees Basaz Bottle Store. He got a shock now. Basa, my family name. And he's, see what he's doing? He's taking it to the doldrums. So he told the taxi to stop here. I'm going to give him a mouthful. What is he doing? You know, my name, and what an excellent name this is. How can he do such a thing? So anyway, he stopped the taxi, he went in. He saw that man is selling used bottles. All used, you know, a child you should see, some people collect old bottles and they could resell, right? But you see now, in our context, the same word is used for a different meaning. And in another context, it's used for a different meaning. Here it's used for a perfectly legal, permissible halal. And here it's used for something perfectly haram, right? So it's left on the usage, how you're using it. Using it correctly or incorrectly. So an alim and a mufti, he can't be too swift in his decision. He has to calculate, understand, verify the statements that come to him, think about it, and then answer. So you very quick, halal, haram. This is kufr. No. Understand context, situation, all that. Understand everything in context, and then you answer. Then very seldom will you make a mistake. You will not create a confusion amongst people because you're seeing the thing, you're seeing it in context, understanding it, perspective, you're seeing it the way it fits, you're placing it where it fits. But you don't see all these things here, and you just jump to a conclusion, create problems. You heard one statement and you want to come to a conclusion after you heard one statement. It's wrong that. I was explaining some ulama yesterday, they came here to the office. So SMC, the office here, right, is a little bit cold. For a person who likes cold, it's an excellent place. Me, I don't appreciate cold too much. Allah forgive me for that. But I can have two options. One is, until the new office is not fixed up, I'm not going to work. I can do that, right? And the other is to say, all right, under the circumstance, what I can do, let me just do it, right? I can't do too much. Whatever I can do under the circumstance, let me just do that much. Then I said, see, half loaf is better than none, right? That's not the best place to be in this type of a cold environment. But half a loaf is better than none. You can't do full, do how much you can do and manage and can continue. But I said, now see this sentence that you've been using, half loaf is better than none, is not applicable everywhere. Now you get hold of one phrase and you want to apply it everywhere and anywhere indiscriminately, then that's incorrect. Right? I worked the full month for you, right? Worked. When I worked, and you're supposed to give me 10,000 rand at the end of the month. Now you give me 5,000 rand. I say, "Bhai Lani, what are you doing now?" I say, "No, half loaf is better than none. Is that the right place to use? Is that the right place?" The statement is right, but is that the right place? So you don't know the perspective. You don't know how to place it. And you just place it. You create a confusion. You create a problem. You create a conflict unnecessarily. Why? You didn't know where to place it, how to place it. And the same thing can be turned around. I came and I worked for you half a month. So give me 10,000. Right? Because half a loaf is better than none. At least I worked half the month. So give me 10,000. Would that work? It doesn't work. So understand context, understand how it fits. And if you don't know it, then ask someone. See, the Quran Sharif explains the basics. Principles, it explains it. And the Hadith Pak will show the explanation. It will elucidate. Like for example, the Quran Sharif will say, establish namaz. But who will come to elucidate this? The Zuhr namaz, 4 rakats, Fajr namaz, 2 rakats, the Hadith Pak will say it. Hadith Sharif will say it. Nowhere in the Quran Sharif there is mention about 2 rakats at the time of Fajr and 3 rakats at the time of Maghrib. And nowhere it says it must read Surah Fatiha and then join it up with the surah. Nowhere it says it. So where is this information? Then this information is in the Hadith. But now there is a third level, and the third level is to place things in perspective, to place things correctly. Now, whose work is it to put things correctly? Now, to put things in perspective, that is the work of the Imams. Imams of Fiqh, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahmatullahi. What is their work? They will place things in perspective. Great Fuqaha, those that have excelled in the science of Fiqh, right? Islamic theology, they will tell you how to place things in perspective. And without them, you are a lost case. Let alone the intelligent man, even the intelligent alim, he needs the imam. Without the imam, he can't place things in perspective. I'll just show you one hadith, right? And I'll explain this point. See, there's a hadith, nearly all the hadith kitab has got it. The hadith says, La salata illa bi fatihatil kitab. Namaz is valid with Surah Fatiha. That means, without the Surah Fatiha, namaz is invalid. Right? Do you have the hadith? Without Surah Fatiha, namaz is invalid. That's the gist of this hadith. Right? Now imagine someone came to the masjid, just around the time the imam was going into ruku. See, I'm saying, you have to put things in perspective. And you didn't put things in perspective, you make a big mess. Not a small mess, a big mess. Just extend this principle and you'll find the mess it will create. See, the hair on your head brings about the beauty, enhances the beauty, isn't it? The skin, the complexion, the color enhances the beauty of the body, right? Now, remove the hair or remove the skin, leave it aside. There's nothing filthier, isn't it? Don't you say, hey, this makes us nauseous. But just now it looked like the most beautiful thing when it was in its place. Hair in its place, skin in its place, and the most beautiful thing. In fact, most people that go for proposals, they go for the same thing, for the hair or for the skin, right? That's what they go for. Alright, you can say the third thing, maybe the figure or the, but more they go for the skin than for the hair, right? This is what they go for. But now you take it out of context, then it's the ugliest thing. Right? In context, the most beautiful thing. Out of context, in perspective, most beautiful. Out of perspective, the ugliest thing. Now you come back to this masala about Surah Fatiha, right? La salata illa bi fatihatil kitab. Now, get the picture right. You've come into the masjid, the Imam Sahib is going into ruku. And you know the hadith that namaz is invalid without the Surah Fatiha. Now, when you joined in, are you going to recite the Surah Fatiha? Or are you going into ruku? If you're going into ruku, then you didn't recite the Surah Fatiha. And when you didn't recite the Surah Fatiha, according to this hadith, the namaz is invalid. Understood? Isn't there a problem now? According to the hadith, in all authentic, reliable books of hadith, namaz is invalid. La salata illa bi fatihatil kitab. Right. Namaz is invalid without Surah Fatiha. Now, are you supposed to be joining the imam, or are you supposed to be standing up and recite the Surah Fatiha? If you are standing up to recite the Surah Fatiha and not going into ruku, there's another hadith which says, إِذَا رَكَعَ فَرْكَعُ وَإِذَا سَجَدَ فَسْجُدُ. When the imam makes ruku, you make ruku. When he makes sajda, you must make sajda. So if you stand to recite the Surah Fatiha, you're doing wrong. Right? And if you're going into ruku, then you have left out the Surah Fatiha. Can you see now? You're getting to a problem. You're standing up, you're doing wrong. You're going against one hadith. And you're going into ruku, you're going against the other hadith. Do you see that? Now, another bright spark comes up and he says, alright, what I'll do is after the imam is completed, then I will recite the Surah Fatiha and complete the namaz. Because he's missed out the Surah Fatiha in the rakat. So when he's missed out the Surah Fatiha, and namaz is invalid without the Surah Fatiha, so what I will do? I will recite the Surah Fatiha. So there's another hadith that comes and tells him, "Man adraka ruku'a, faqad adraka raka." You got the ruku, you got the rakat, right? You got the ruku, you've got the rakat. Now, man is in a real confusion. If I practice the first hadith, I'm contradicting the second. If I practice the second hadith, I'm contradicting the third. Now, what do I do? Can you see now the jam that he's brought? So now, when he's in a jam now, he doesn't know what to do. Now, Allah Ta'ala maaf kare, Allah Ta'ala forgive us. The problem with us is, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمَمٍ مِّنْ قَبْلِكَ فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِالْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَضَرَّعُونَ. We send the Rasuls to teach and guide people, right? To teach them, to guide people. Then we put them through some challenges, some problems. But the problems that we put them across was so that they could learn the lesson of humility. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَضَرَّعُونَ. So that means an answer to many problems is learn to humble yourself. If you humble yourself, you'll come to the right conclusions. But if you don't want to humble yourself, then you are a lost case. No matter how pious you are, how good you are, how well-mannered you are, but if you delete the aspect of humility, then you're a lost case. Nobody is saying, I put them through different conditions. Why? That they may learn the lesson of humility. Now the lesson of humility is telling them, just find out. I don't know it, I must find out. But now I feel it's against my pride now. You know, if I'm going to find out, then I'm losing my self-esteem, my respect. People had an opinion about me. I have to humble myself and go and ask this person here, refer to him. So my respect is growing, my self-esteem is growing. I am such a professional doctor, I must go refer to other doctors. I'm such a specialist, I must refer to someone else. So I'm losing my respect, my reputation is getting lost. Now if he has that attitude, he will complicate things for himself and complicate things for the patient. The right and sensible thing to do was humble himself and find out to a higher, from a higher authority, by this, fix here, what must I do? So now, when we got the understanding, we got the narrative, right? The narrative, the principle, we got it. So what we do, we will refer this whole situation to the imam. Because now we're in a jam now. There's one hadith talking about namaz being invalid without Surah Fatiha. Other hadith is saying that where you, in what posture you find the imam, just join him. And the third hadith is saying that you got the ruku, then you got the rakat. Now, three hadiths is all contradicting. Now, the sensible thing is by talk to the imam. Because the imam, what he'll do, is all the hadith that is found, that's available on that subject, he will have a full picture of all the hadith that is on the same subject. And you may have one hadith. And because you've got just one hadith, you don't know the perspective, you don't know the context. When you don't know the context, you're putting it out of context and you're creating a confusion. But you don't want to ask because you don't want to humble yourself. And the right thing is when you don't have the full picture, then find out. Umar radiallahu was discussing once about the share of the grandparent, grandmother here, right? That what is the share in an estate, when you're winding an estate, then what is the share of the grandmother? So one sahabi said, the share of the grandmother is 1/6. So Umar radiallahu asked him, but explain to me the circumstance. What must be the circumstance for the granny to get 1/6 estate now? Say for example, the estate got 6 million rand. And you say that the granny's share is 1/6, that means 1 million rand. But show me the circumstance, and under what circumstance will the granny get 1 million rand? Says, no, I don't know the circumstance. So Umar told him then, you haven't understood this. Understand the context. Because it may be that the person that died, right, his mother may be living, you're talking about the granny, his father may be living, so if the father or the mother is living, then you will not talk about the grandparent at the time. You will talk about the grandparent around the time when he doesn't have parents. But when he has the parents, then you will not then talk about the grandparents. See, so Umar corrected him, see, you haven't understood it. You understood it if you know the circumstance. Don't understand the circumstance, you just got one portion of the whole equation, and you do and you pretend as though I know it well, then this is wrong. This is confusion. This is complication. You are complicated yourself and you will complicate others. You will confuse yourself and you will confuse others. So coming back to the Surah Fatiha, you know, so it was just the logical thing that we didn't understand it, and we nor do we have all the hadith of this subject before us. So what we did, we just press a button to the Imam Sahib. Abunifa, we just press a button, I'm going to get to you, we're going to ask you now, Imam Sahib, we've got a problem here, we're in a quandary, we don't know about this whole masla here. So Imam Sahib is so casual, he's so relaxed, and he says, Beta, my dear son, I've already studied the whole subject, I've studied this, and this Surah Fatiha, the namaz is invalid without Surah Fatiha, refers to an imam, or refers to the person that is performing namaz individually. Now you've got any problem. Before that, what a problem it seemed to be, right? It seemed to be a dynamic problem, right? But now when the imams are put it into perspective, now is there any problem? Today, what's the meaning of this hadith now? How can Nabi say this and that? All that, na'uzubillah, all those doubts will play up in your mind. Because you didn't know the context of this hadith. And you were not humble enough to go and find out. When you were humble enough to find out, now you found the position, the mahmal, the place where you need to position this hadith. Now, is there any confusion left? So the confusion is self-created. But you see how it comes about. So Allah is saying, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَدَرَّعُونَ. Learn this lesson. Learn this lesson of humility. It's going to be an exit. It's going to be a solution for many, many a problem. You in adab, right, seeing our problems are coming about. Someone is getting sickness, accidents, whatever. So the Quran is saying, the solution to it is just learn the lesson of humility, humble yourself, cry before Allah Ta'ala, ask for your forgiveness, treating yourself, correct yourself, Allah will fix it up. But so, no, because of this scientific reason and this ecosystem is changing and then global warming and all is happening. So you ruled it off. You forgot that there was an Allah Ta'ala and you learnt the global warming, right? You learnt the global warming, but you didn't understand that there was an Allah Ta'ala behind the whole system. That you forgot. You took out Allah Ta'ala and you replaced it with global warming. See? What can global warming do? Can't do anything. It's Allah Ta'ala that does. He makes it happen and He makes it not happen. He wants it to happen, it will happen, and He wants it not to happen, it won't happen. But in this whole commotion, all Allah wants you to do, by humble yourself, get onto your knees, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, beg Allah ta'ala, you know, He is the problem. He is the spanner in the works. He is causing all this problem. Because of Him, it's not happening. See, now, when you got Allah ta'ala, Allah ta'ala is telling you, just do this, what I'm telling you, do this, and inshallah, you'll find it to be a solution to 101 problems. Not just 100 problems, but 101 problems. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَرَّعُونَ فَلَوْلَا إِذْ جَاءَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا تَذَرَّعُونَ. Then, when they saw these problems, then why didn't they humble themselves? Allah is complaining. Why didn't they humble themselves? وَلَكِنْ قَسَدْ قُلُوبُمْ. But the truth of the matter is this, the hearts by now had hardened. When the hearts are hardened now, there's no way that they can see. They can't see beyond them. It's so much of cloud, so much of mist before them, that they can't, they've got no vision now. The vision is all locked up. It's all jammed up. They can't see anything. So we're talking about the world, right? And this Uliya-i Kiram and Mashayikh, they try and find out now, what's the problem? What's the real catalyst? Man, you stop him from robbing, he's cheating. He's not cheating, he's deceiving. He's not deceiving and he's going to gambling. Not gambling, then he's going to interest, right? So he's got it, but he's going to do it in some way. And you say, but it's legal. Now, here you need to understand, something becoming legal doesn't give it a halal status. It's got a legal status, but the legal status is not equivalent to a halal status. Legal is something else, and halal is something else. If the law says that you married in community, therefore half your wealth will go to your wife at the time of divorce. That wealth is not halal for that wife. It's haram. She's eating, it's good like eating pork. In fact, worse than eating pork. It doesn't give it a halal status. So, no, I don't want to eat pork, but I'll eat this thing here. This is worse than eating pork, because you're justifying the wrong. So that legal status doesn't give it a halal status. Haram, remain halal. Haram. It doesn't become halal. Because their understanding and definition of halal and legal is different, and your definition of legal and halal is different. They don't need to conform to our standards, nor do we have to conform to their standards. Why must we now squeeze the Sharia just to conform to legal standards? They got their own system, let them move on their system. We got our system, we will continue our system. But the day someone is not happy with our system, you say, "Right, you go out, get out of Islam, do your own thing." But you don't come and mess up and confuse and complicate. Say, "No, married in community, and because of that, now what's going to happen to this woman after she's divorced? Kya hoga, kya nahi hoga?" Right? This is all one-sided. In my understanding, it's one-sided. She came into the marriage, now she's divorced, she's suing for divorce, and she's taking away the man's wealth, right? He says, no, I gave my life for this man here. So I am eligible for his wealth. I ask you, is this not one-sided? What about the mother that gave the life to the child? She is not eligible to the wealth. See, even the law now, the Muslim Amulk, they also supporting this. Why are they supporting it? No, this woman gave her life to the husband. When the woman gave the life to the husband, so therefore she is eligible for this wealth here. I ask you, that mother that gave that life for this child here, she brought him for the 20 years or 25 years, supported his education, so she's not eligible. This one just came today, the stupid little thing came today, and suddenly she's taken total control over the finances. I ask you, where's the justice? Is it just? My time is up, I have to go to another program just now, right?